ACT Radio is taped and produced at the KTEP studios at the University of Texas at El Paso. The views and opinions expressed on ACT Radio are solely those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KTEP, its staff, or management.
Welcome to ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Tom Linney.
Here on ACT, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
We also talk about why a plant-based diet is the healthiest thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, if you're concerned about the environment, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Benji Kurtz. Benji lost more than 130 pounds by switching to a Whole Foods plant-based diet. That's a little later in our show, but first some news.
Last week, the U.S. Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee issued its proposed nutrition policy for 2015, and the meat industry is upset. The current proposal, which will soon reopen for public comments, recommends that Americans eat more fruits and vegetables while reducing our consumption of red and processed meat. During open meeting sessions, earlier drafts of the guidelines included lean meat on a list of foods that are health-promoting, consistent with the existing 2010 guidelines. The final report, however, no longer includes lean meat on the list of healthful foods being recommended. In fact, the proposal suggests that a diet higher in plant-based foods and lower in animal-based foods is more health-promoting and is associated with a lesser environmental impact than is the current average U.S. diet. Earlier meetings of the advisory panel suggested that it may take a broader approach to its nutrition policy recommendations by also factoring in issues related to sustainability, specifically how reducing meat consumption can reduce greenhouse gas emissions. These dietary guidelines for Americans are a joint project between the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and it's a policy which is updated every 5 years. The current report will be reviewed by both federal agencies before another round of public comments will be accepted, and the final 2015 guidelines will be published by the end of the year. And, of course, lobbyists for the meat industry have been putting pressure on our lawmakers to block the proposed guidelines and do away with the suggestion that people should eat less meat.
In response to reports of thousands of sick pets, Petco has removed all Chinese-made dog and cat treats from its shelves. Petco had announced in May 2014 that it would end sales of the snacks. As of this week, the company told the Associated Press that it had done so. Between 2007 and May 2014, the Food and Drug Administration received thousands of complaints regarding the Chinese treats. 5,600 sick dogs, 50 cats, 3 humans, and 1,000 canine deaths. According to the FDA, an inquiry has not yet determined an exact cause and effect relationship between the Chinese jerky treats and pets who fell ill. Consumers whose pets fall ill can file reports of safety issues at the FDA's safety reporting portal. PetSmart, which also announced it would remove the snacks in May, plans to pull all pet treats made in China off their shelves by March 2015.
If your New Year's resolution is to follow something like the Atkins diet and cut out carbohydrates to lose weight, you should know about a new study from Harvard, which found that people who consume more whole grains live longer. Researchers analyzed the diets and mortality of more than 100,000 men and women and found that after an average of 25 years follow-up, more whole grain intake was associated with lower death rates, and that every whole grain serving was associated with a 5% lower risk for death in general and a 9% lower risk for death from heart disease. Whole grains for this study were defined as the whole grain, whole wheat, oats, brown rice, as well as its pulverized flour form, which may be found in products such as bread and cereals. The benefits were independent of other lifestyle factors, including exercise and other dietary choices. These findings support other studies that show that avoiding healthful carbs and consuming animal products increases the risk for dying.
Stay with us. Coming up next is a conversation with Benji Kurtz of WholeFoodPlantBase.info. Benji's been featured on CNN.com, The Daily Mail, and HLN, and he promotes a lifestyle that keeps you healthy, protects animals, and saves the planet. That's next on ACT Radio. Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas Radio is Benji Kurtz. Thanks for being with us, Benji.
Thanks for having me.
Benji, I understand you lost a lot of weight over the last couple of years.
I did. In the last 16 or 17 months, I guess it's now closer to 18 months, I've lost just over half my body weight, which is at this point about 132 pounds.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So what prompted you to do this?
Well, it started in late May over Memorial Day weekend of 2013. My wife and I happened upon Forks Over Knives, the great documentary.
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking to answer the question. I didn't have a question I was looking to get answered, but I found the answer anyway. I had been overweight my entire life, and I have always loved documentaries, and truly we just stumbled upon it, and I wasn't looking out for what do I need to do to lose weight or what's the next diet I should try. It was just in front of us on the screen. It looked interesting, and we watched it.
Were you suffering from health problems?
I very fortunately was not.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say that I was the healthiest obese person that I could be, in that I had no chronic diseases, no issues with disease or diabetes or anything like that. So as healthy as one could be, being morbidly obese, which I was. So I would go out and walk. I would participate in activities. I certainly wasn't doing anything athletic. But, yeah, I was very fortunate in that as overweight as I was and with as high of a BMI as I had, I had very few health issues.
And you tried other diets before you came to this?
I've tried every diet there was. I've done the kind where you count points. I've done the kind where you pay them for small portions of unhealthy food. I've done low carb. I've done South Beach. I did Atkins. You name it, I've tried it all. And like most Americans, discover that when you buy into the multi-billion-dollar diet industry, you lose weight, potentially lose weight, even though it's not healthy how you're doing it, for a while. And then when you get tired of that particular diet of the week and you go back to what you were doing before, you gain every pound of it back and more. And so you just end up in that endless dieting loop, which is exactly what these industries count on, and that's how they stay in business.
And that's why I think the way that this thing works is to consider it a lifestyle change rather than going on a diet.
No question. I try to avoid using the word diet when I describe it, because in America, a diet is just that. It's a temporary change. And what my wife and I did in 2013 was not undertake a diet. It was to change our lifestyles, and that's exactly what has happened. You're right.
And what did your lifestyle encompass for most of your life?
The lifestyle was a lean meat and lots of simple carbs. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was I didn't eat often, but I would always eat my largest meal at night, which was just, you know, horrible as far as gaining weight, when, you know, just to have this gut bomb of a meal at 8 or 9 o'clock and then go to sleep an hour later, so you don't even have a chance for your body to work off any of those carbs that you eat. So, I thought, just like everybody else thinks now and what is very hip and trendy, that I was eating the quote-unquote healthy meats and the lean proteins by sticking to chicken and fish, and not until I started educating myself over the last couple of years did I discover that cholesterol is cholesterol, and meat and fish and poultry and red meat all have cholesterol. None of it's healthy. And eggs and dairy products, none of that is healthy, and I was doing damage to myself. And I truly, really believed that I was eating as healthily as could be, and unfortunately millions of people today are doing that same thing, as we see that the consumption of red meat in this country is going down, but consumption of shellfish and poultry and turkey specifically is going through the roof. So, I mean, there are, the mindset I had is very common in this country, and it's wrong.
Yeah, you know, the more I've learned about this thing, the more I consider fish and poultry to be much more unhealthy than certain types of red meat.
Yeah, it's hard to say. All I know is that none of them are healthy, and the more that I read and discover, you know, what's in these fish and what is in our oceans and what is in these factory farms that are in oceans and other waterways, it's just horrible. And for people to say, oh, I'm pescatarian, I only eat fish, it's like, have you seen what's in our oceans? Have you seen what people dump in there? Why do you want to consume these toxins? And animal rights aside, it's just so terribly unhealthy for the human body to consume what we have started to put into our environment, which ends up in the flesh of these animals.
Yeah. Well, you know, your story is particularly timely with New Year's and everyone's looking at their 2015 resolutions. You switched to a whole foods plant-based diet. What was the transition like for you? How difficult was it, or how easy was it?
Well, I'm someone who typically is very decisive and bullheaded, and when I decide to do something, it's pretty much done. So I'm fortunate in that way, in that I didn't need to do it in phases or phase it in. I decided to give it a try immediately after watching the movie. Now, I didn't make a lifetime commitment, but I did say, let's try it for 30 days, or I'm going to try this for 30 days. Let's just see what happens. Who knows? It's a month. You got nothing to lose. As far as the phasing in, there wasn't any. I just did it. Now, I will tell you that the first several months of this journey, I was not whole food plant-based. My first transition was to a vegan diet. So on day one, vegan, period. But I was also getting a lot of prepared foods. We were very fortunate. We have a Whole Foods market right down the road. So on their hot bar, on the prepared foods bar, there are a plethora of vegan options every day. Unfortunately, they're not terribly healthy, but for someone transitioning, fantastic. You know, they have the chicken fried tofu cubes, and they have the oily greens and spicy collards and vegan macaroni and cheese and all kinds of stuff.
My mouth is watering.
which allowed it to be very easy to switch to that diet. And I was at that Whole Foods Hot Bar 4 or 5 days a week just because it was so easy just to go cherry pick, you know, vegetables that were already done and these tofu cubes that are delicious and this oily pasta and all this great stuff. But it wasn't until several months later that I was the true transition from just being vegan to what Chef Del Shruff calls in his book, quote unquote, better than vegan, which is a whole foods plant-based diet.
Right. Well, I think, you know, the challenge, you know, for me especially, and I know others, was getting out of a pattern. Our lives are so built around patterns, and trying to restructure your brain connections and figure out a different way to do things. What sort of resources did you use to switch towards a plant-based diet?
I started with the film, and then following the film, I started reading like a maniac. I read as many books as I could get my hands on from the figures that were spotlighted in the film. So I read
Forks Over Knives.
So I read Colin Campbell. I read John McDougall. I read Caldwell Esselstyn. I read Doug Lyle, who has a wonderful take on the psychological portion of what it is that we do and how to deal with other people and how to understand what he calls the pleasure trap of salt, oil, and sugar. And the more I read, the more it all made sense to me. And then I started with YouTube videos. So that I watch probably 50 hours on YouTube of these 1 hour, 45 minute to an hour presentations by all of these figures speaking to various conferences or vegetarian societies or groups of physicians or whatever, wherever it was that they were filmed. I was able to watch these people's presentations and really soak it in, because reading it in a book is one thing. Watching the person on YouTube with their PowerPoint just brought a whole lot more logic to it, and it made sense. And so, you know, all of these doctors and physicians and dietitians they're all slightly different. So, you know, McDougall says more starch. You should base your diet around starch, and you may get something different from a Dean Ornish that says it should be fruits and vegetables. But they're all basically conveying the same message. And what I was able to see while hearing all of these different figures was, with maybe 5 or 10% difference here or there, they're all saying the same thing, which is that we should be eating fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, nuts, and seeds, and eliminating all animal products, all processed foods as much as possible, and limiting intake of salt, oil, and sugar. And that sort of says it all as far as the diet is concerned. So that was sort of, that was my goal. That's what I aimed towards.
What are some of your favorite meals now?
Well, you know, I sort of go in phases. Right now, we're really enjoying a lot of these recipes that we can make in large batches and eat off of for several days. I have a good friend in Southern California named Chef AJ, who is a whole food plant-based chef and recipe author, and she has come out with some amazing soups and stews and chilies. And our favorite dish in this house right now is her red lentil chili, which we have put little tweaks on here or there for personal taste, and we make it in a pressure cooker, an Instant Pot. And there's a whole community online of vegan Instant Pot owners, believe it or not, and it's a Facebook group. And her red lentil chili, it takes literally 10 minutes to make, and that's from dry lentils to a finished product in the pressure cooker. And it lasts us for a week, and it's delicious.
Red lentils cook very quickly anyway. I imagine, you know, you just need to throw this in, turn it on for a few minutes, and that's it.
That's it. That's it. And I actually have featured the recipe on my site, which I'm sure you guys will link to on my site. I actually have pictures of the before and after and all the ingredients and my little tweaks here and there. And big fans of the red lentil chili. We do have other split pea soup that she does that we really like. And also, I'm into really simple, the boring sounding foods. Oats. I love oatmeal. I love oats. And I'll eat oats straight out of the container. I'll eat it as oatmeal. There's a granola that I make with a dehydrator that is, you know, honestly, it's no sugar. It's sweetened with fruit. And, you know, we've been getting into making batches of this granola and giving it away to friends so that we don't eat it all ourselves.
Yeah, I had oats this morning. And what I like to do is cook the oats with raisins and walnuts and flaxseed, and then spread it out on a plate in the oven and bake it into a giant cookie.
Exactly. Yeah, same thing, same deal. I mean, you're making a granola cookie. So, I mean, learning to how to cook and make things delicious without using the salt, oil, sugar, or animal products has been just a real fun journey, and Chef AJ is really a big part of that. She uses what's called date paste to sweeten all of her confections, and date paste is nothing, of course, other than dates soaked in some sort of liquid and blended up. And it's better than sugar.
Well, it's got all the minerals and things still in it.
Yeah, delicious, just delicious stuff. So, I mean, just experimenting by learning how to saute an onion without oil and how to make sweet treat dessert, delicious desserts without any sugar whatsoever, but using only nature's sugar like dates or prunes. It's just been really fun to learn, hey, you can cook real food without that coating of oil on your tongue, without sugar, and it's delicious and healthy, and you can continue to lose weight.
People also hope that food is, or a diet is the cure-all when they're overweight or they're unhealthy. What about your exercise routine?
My exercise routine is, again, this is really boring, but it's worked really well for me. I swim every day. 7 days a week with occasional days off here or there to recoup or for holidays, et cetera. And I found a gym nearby with an indoor pool that is very rarely full of people. It's usually empty. And I only go and I swim it's 550 meters, which takes me about 14, 16 minutes. And that's it. I do my 15 minutes, and I get out of the pool, and I come home. And the reason that I do that is because I know that if I were to do a longer workout, I would not have the discipline to do it. I'd get sick of it. Right. But now that I'm about 16 months in of doing this every single day, I can tell you that that's just the right amount of time, because the 20 minutes has done wonders for my body and toning and muscles, et cetera, right. Helps keep that weight off. But it's just enough time that I can go swim, think about whatever it is that's going on at that time. It's a good place. I get a lot of thinking done, but I'm done in 20 minutes, so it doesn't take a lot of time out of my day, and I won't burn out on it.
I just want to mention again, for people who turned in late, you went from 278 pounds down to what in 16 months?
Well, I had 278 was my highest ever, and that was I was only 250 only. 258. When I started in Memorial Day 2013, my current weight is about 126.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm down 50% from when I started this journey, but from my all-time highest, I'm down a full 150 pounds.
That's amazing.
So I tell people that it's exciting that when I go to I have a similar problem but for a very different reason when I go shop for clothes now. It used to be I'd go shop for clothes and I would be unable to find clothes that fit me, and I was on the right hand side of the rack in the men's store, as I'm sure the sizes go up from left to right.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking for the single suit or one of only two suits or something like that on the right hand side of the rack. And now I go into places, and I still can't find a whole lot of stuff that fits me, but it's for a different reason, and it's on the left side of the rack, you know. I like to go to Costco to buy stuff cheap, and unfortunately, Costco doesn't carry anything smaller than a medium for most men's sizes, and I swim in a medium now. So, it's a good problem to have for sure, that, you know, there's a lot of very small, that I'm wearing a 29 waist now, most of my clothes are the custom fit or tailor fit or European fit.
Wow.
In small sizes. So it's a good problem to have. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, there's an amazing photo on your website of you standing in a pair of jeans that you used to have, and you're basically filling up just one of the pant legs.
Yeah, that is actually that photo seems to have been quite the hit. That was the one that got CNN's attention when they wrote about me, and I just sort of took that as a fun. I think it was really just to show my parents, and I ended up putting it on Facebook, and it really, really made the rounds. In fact, I was accused after CNN used that picture and told my story. I had several people giving me the Zapruder film treatment, suggesting that that was a doctored photo, that it couldn't possibly be me, and look at the light behind him. It's not real. And I had to actually post to that guy and said, I can assure you it's real. If you'd like to fly here, I can show you that. You know, that is me. Those are my jeans. That is not doctored. It's real. But yeah, those are the I happened to keep the largest pair of jeans that I ever owned, which was probably from those 278-pound days. And those jeans that I'm standing in are a 50-inch waist, 5-0.
Jeez.
And that picture honestly was taken about 25 pounds ago for me as well. So it's that is fun to be able to stand in one leg of something that you used to get into. And whenever I put those on, my wife always says, I can't remember you ever being that big. I just can't believe it. I cannot believe that you wore those pants.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I think easily things sort of slip away from us. Over time, we don't really take the time to look at our health and evaluate on a regular basis how the standard American diet really affects us.
It really does. It's like everyone is walking around just sort of in a blind stupor, but they don't even realize it. It's really a shame, and I hope that the more people of influence and celebrities and other people who get it are able to share the message. I'm hoping that more people can be affected and see the light and educate themselves, not only for their own health, but also for our environment, and also for animal welfare, because what happens to animals in this country and in this world is just unspeakably cruel and inhumane and not sustainable. I mean, that's the flat-out honesty. Humans, not the three of us, but human beings consume animals at a rate right now that is truly unsustainable for the amount of resources that this planet holds. It will not continue.
No, I
think
it
shouldn't continue by choice. Eventually, it will continue not by choice because the lack of resources. We won't be able to have enough land to do it. But I would like to think that we could be smart enough as a human race to stop making such incredibly stupid and inhumane decisions before we don't actually have a choice whether we do or not.
Well, hopefully we don't turn to Soylent Green.
We can hope.
Yeah. I mean, we always find the easiest solution.
Right.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, we do. We really do. And I hope that more people get the message. And I have hope that younger people are going to be more moldable and more open to learning science than the older generations who just simply are not going to change no matter what you show them. As they die off, I'm hopeful that future generations will understand and be willing to say, look, this is science. I mean, listen, with the human race, we used to think smoking was okay and doctors would prescribe cigarettes. We've become more wise than to do that anymore. The human race used to was into bloodletting as a form of medical treatment for 3,000 years. I think that we finally found out and science showed us, hey, that was not such a smart idea after all, and we move forward. And I think eating animals and animal products is going to be the cigarette smoking of the next generation.
That's true.
And people are going to say, hey, I understand we did this for a very long time, but here's the science that shows that that's wrong, and we're going to move forward.
Benji, I think your story can be inspiring for all of us for 2015 and moving forward as well. Where can our listeners go to learn more about your story?
A couple places. My blog is sort of a weird long name, but it's wholefoodplantbased.info. Whole food, not like the grocery, but wholefoodplantbased.info. And on that blog site, I gather and repost a lot of stories from people in this movement who I think are worthy of reposting. I do posting on my own. You can also find my Facebook page and like it there. And then if you're on Facebook, you can just do a search for Whole Food Plant-Based Eating and join our group. We're very fortunate that we have several thousand people who are part of that group, and it's an active group, and we post things that are relevant there as well. And, yeah, those are the two best places to find me, and I have a couple of other plant-based projects as well. We just launched a brand-new health-oriented or vegan-based publishing imprint, and we were excited to just have released the first vegan political novel, believe it or not.
Wow. Great.
By a guy named Glenn Mercer, who co-wrote several of the very popular vegan cookbooks and other stories. He wrote co-wrote Mad Cowboy, as well as several cookbooks, Del Shruff's book that I talked about, Happy Cow Cookbook, and he's a great author. We're real fortunate to have released it's a political novel asking whether America is ready for its first vegan president. So that's a real fun book. Be sure to look for Glenn Mercer's book. It's called Off the Reservation. And also working on some other plant-based projects that we're excited about for 2015 that we're not quite ready to talk about. But keep an eye out, and there's more stuff ahead as well.
Great. Well, we should have you back on again sometime.
I would love it. I would love it. And thank you for inviting me.
We've been talking with Benji Kurtz of wholefoodplantbased.info. Thanks so much, Benji.
Thanks, Benji.
Sure.
If you'd like to learn more about a plant-based diet, please visit the Vegetarian Society of El Paso's website at vsep.org. There you will also find out about our February 21st dinner. Erica Meyer, director of the national organization Compassion Over Killing, will be our guest speaker. The dinner will take place at the Sunland Park Holiday Inn, February 21st. For more information, please visit our website at vsep.org.
And if you'd like to listen to some of the past shows of ACK Radio, you can find them at ktep.org. Just click on the Listen button.
Until next time, I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Tom Linney. For the animals, the earth, and a healthier humanity, thanks for listening to Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm happy.